me to the book of Exodus, chapter 15. Tonight, I want us to talk about overcoming spiritual droughts. Overcoming spiritual droughts. Now, if we are honest, the Christian life is not one of continual spiritual high. Sometimes we go through a spiritual dry season. Anyone here that has not gone to a spiritual dry season, please raise your hand. Do you ever feel like you have little to give? Little joy in coming to church? Little desire to serve God? Do you ever find yourself doubting like Thomas? Suffering like Job? Feeling busy and distracted like Martha? How can we handle spiritual dry seasons in our lives? Because just as the Israelites began wandering in the wilderness on their way to the promised land, they went through a dry time. And we find that one of them here in the book of Exodus chapter 15. Let's read it together, beginning in verse 19. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. Then Miriam, the prophetess or the worship leader, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all the women went after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them and said, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea." So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found what? No water. Now when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" So I want us to look at this passage tonight and learn some lessons from them as to how to deal with our spiritual dry seasons. If you have never had a dry season, pack a lunch, because one is going to come sooner or later. Even pastors go through dry seasons. Just a secret. Number one that we can learn from them is this. Don't forget what God did for you in the past. Because the journey to the promised land, people of God, is not one of singing and dancing all the way. There are going to be times that we're going to be singing and dancing and celebrating and shouting. But there are going to be times that we're going to be getting there. We're going to move forward. But we're going to move forward in a dry time. So the journey to the promised land is not a continual singing and dancing all the way. Here we see that God had parted the waters of the Red Sea, and he had delivered his people from the Egyptian army who was pursuing it at the time. And here we see Moses' sister Miriam, who was about 90 years old at the time, and led thousands of women into a song of praise. In verse 21, she says, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his riders he has thrown into the sea." So here we see that the people were having a mighty church service that day. They were shouting, they were dancing, they were filled with the joy of the Lord. And they were celebrating the supernatural deliverance that God has done for them. How he had parted the waters of the Red Sea in a miraculous way so that they can pass to dry ground to the other land. But something that happens, and I have learned, is this. Often, our toughest trials come after our biggest victories. Every big victory will be followed by a big trial. Let me repeat that again. Often, our toughest trials Our toughest seasons come right after our biggest victory. You know, God has done awesome things in my life. And God has done awesome things in this church. I have been almost 20 years attending New Life of God. And I see God doing amazing things in this church. But sometimes, when I see God moving in an awesome way and doing awesome things in our midst, I go and I say, let us be ready. Because after this victory, a test will come. Often our toughest trials will come after, right after our biggest victory, church. Almost immediately after the victory and the celebration, they traveled 3 days in the desert without finding any water whatsoever. So the intense joy and worship quickly gave way to intense hardship. The excitement of following God was swallowed up by the dry desert of daily survival. And this is the principle, dear friends. Often our toughest trials come soon after our biggest victories. Jesus experienced this himself. Jesus was baptized, and the voice of the Father was heard from heaven, confirming Jesus' identity before a crowd. And they heard the voice of the Father saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And immediately after that blessing, immediately after that experience, Jesus went into the wilderness of temptation. Now, during dry times, we need to remember God's faithfulness to us in the past. Psalm 42, verse 4 says it this way. These things I remember, said David, as I pour out my soul. How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the mighty one with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throngs. During tough times, we must remember what God has done for us in past time. Are you praying for healing? Remember how God saved you from a life of sin and darkness. Remember what God has done for you in the past. God has been faithful for you in the past, and he will be faithful to you right now, no matter what is happening to us. Remember God's faithfulness in the life of others. Remember the numerous testimonies that you have heard in this church time after time. Are you praying for a baby? Are you trusting God for a baby? If you are married, because if you are not married, please do not trust God for a baby. But are you trusting God for a baby? Then remember the testimony of those who waited and waited for years, and finally God answered their cry and they finally conceived a child. I remember the story of a young lady. I haven't seen her in a while, but she was praying for God for a long time for a baby, and her husband couldn't conceive a child. And finally, doctor said to her, you have to give up on the idea because I don't think that you're going to be able to conceive. And one day she started feeling sick and feeling sick and feeling sick, thinking that something was wrong with her. And she went to the doctor, and the doctor said to look at her and said, what you have is going to be cured after 9 months. Because you're expecting a child. What was that? The faithfulness of God. Even when they gave up on the promise, God never gave up on what he said he was going to do. Are you believing for the salvation of a family member? Remember the friend who saw the miracle happen in the life of their spouse. Thinking about God's goodness, thinking about God's faithfulness for us in the past will steer the faith that we need now to get through to whatever season we are going through. Number two, don't magnify your present problems. Don't magnify your present problems. Read in verse 23 and 24. It says that when they came to Mara, they could not drink the waters of Mara, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Mara, and the people complained against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? Now, it was not as bad as it seems. The water of Mara was bitter, yes. And apparently the reason was that the water was filled with bad-tasting minerals and substances that made the water bitter. But at least it was water. It meant survival. Have you heard of the survival stories in TV? I have heard of numerous stories, and I've seen documentaries in TV where people were stranded in the forest or in a desert area for months, and the only way that they survived, even some of them, was by drinking certain substances. Because at least it was water. It meant that it was survival. And a person that is truly thirsty and truly wants to survive will drink anything during a time of need. I tell you, if that would ever happen to me, and I pray that it won't, and I have to choose between drinking a bitter water or dying, sure enough, I'm going to drink the bitter water. But also, they could have purified the water. How, Pastor Anna? Very simply, those of you that are in camping, or those of you that are survival experts, will know what I'm going to say now. And it's this. Studies show that any water that is underground or has minerals, certain minerals, might be muddy and might be bitter. But just straining that water through a piece of cloth, even a sock, or even a piece of clothing, will purify that water, and it will get you the water that you need to drink to survive during the short term. But these people were never satisfied. They have seen God parting the waters of the Red Sea in a supernatural way to deliver them from the Egyptians. 3 days ago, they were dancing, they were celebrating, they were praising God. So when things went well, they opened their mouths to praise God. But now, they're standing by the pool of a bitter water, and they are complaining because simply the Lord did not do what they wanted and how they wanted it when they wanted. And how like us, church, if we are honest, when things good happens to us, oh, we are so ready to testify. Oh, we are so ready to praise God. Oh, we are so ready to be involved in ministry. But when a trial comes our way, we whine, we complain about the horrible time that we are going through. And we blame even the pastor. And we say, this might work for other people, but this does not work for me. Therefore, I am going to stop coming to church because this simply does not work. Church, it's not that I'm being insensitive to your suffering. If you will really get to know me, you will see that I'm one of the most compassionate people that you can find. But really, we need to learn to be a people that can praise God and give glory to God, not only when we are in good times, but also when we're going through bad times. In every situation in life, whatever we're going through, we must be willing to praise Jesus and to lift up the name of Jesus for who he is. Hallelujah. If we are up in the mountain, we need to praise God for his goodness. But if we are down in the valley, we need to praise God for his faithfulness. We need to praise God for his comfort. We need to praise God for the promises that he has given us in his word, that he will get us out of whatever situation we are going through in life. Whatever we face in life, we need to praise him. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says it this way. In everything. That means in good times. That means in bad times. That means when I have money to pay the rent and when I don't have money to pay the rent. It means in everything, when I'm in health and when I'm in sickness, in everything, give thanks. Amen. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. See, the problem is that sometimes we exaggerate our hardships and overlook our blessings. You see, one of the tactics that the enemy uses in our lives when we are going through problems is he likes to magnify the problem. He wants you to focus on the problem. He wants you to focus on the enemy rather than focus on the God that is above your problem, on the God that is above your sickness, on the God that is above your enemy. So sometimes we exaggerate the problem. We exaggerate our hardships and we overlook our blessings. But as Christians, we need to understand this if you want to write it down. Life is a blend of different seasons. Life is a blend of different seasons, even for the life of a Christian. Israel had just experienced the victory and the joy, but now they must face the bitter waters as well. But this bitter time will pass. They will again enjoy a time of blessing. In verse 27, it says that they came to Elim, where there were 12 wells of water and 17 palm trees. So they camped there by the waters. See, a lot of people, including Christians, think that once you follow Jesus Christ and once you serve Jesus Christ, everything is going to be perfect in life. That there are never going to be any bitter times in this journey. And sadly, friends, this is absolutely wrong thinking. On the contrary, the more you serve God and the more you consecrate to God, more trials are going to come your way because you have an enemy that hates you and wants you dead. But the life of a Christian is a combination of sweet and bitter. It's a mixture of times of glorious manifestations of the power of God. Times of revival. Times of praise. Times of miracle. Times of progress. But there's also times of testing. Times of trial. Times in which we must drink the bitter waters that life throws at us. Verse 25 says that they were tested, that he tested them. And maybe you're sitting there and saying, well, Pastor Ana, I came to church to be encouraged tonight. And this sounds so depressing. But friends, we need to remember something, and it's this. The life with Jesus Christ has beautiful and glorious moments that far exceed the dry times, that far exceed the trial. There is no life like the life of Jesus. There is no joy than having a life with Jesus. There is no hope with going through stuff in life without Jesus. I even see some of the people that are enduring cancer treatment. And you see, when our pastor goes to get her cancer treatment, there is a peace in her. There is a joy. There is a glow in her that you don't see in most of the people in that hospital. Why? Because she has something that no doctor, no medicine, and no one in this life can give to her. And that is the power of God. That is the joy of Jesus. That is the grace of God. And that is the hope and the trust that God will do what he says he's going to do. Hallelujah to his name. The healing of sickness. The birth of a child. The hope that God will answer our prayers. The hope that God in a supernatural way will provide for your financial needs. God's victory over our enemies. Times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. There is no life outside of Jesus. There is no hope outside of Jesus. There is no breakthrough, no victory outside of Jesus Christ. And when you remember that this journey we are on has sweet and bitter times, you will prepare yourself to face either one. Don't wait for the trial to come for you to start seeking God. Don't wait for the trial to come for you to establish a discipline of prayer. Don't wait for the trial to come for you to start coming to church and be faithful with church attendance. Prepare for what's coming ahead, because pack a lunch. Our life has seasons, and there will be sweet seasons, and there will be bitter seasons. But praise God that we have the promise of breakthrough and victory in whatever season we're in. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Lastly, don't overlook God's solutions. Don't overlook God's solution. In verse 25, they cry out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. Hallelujah. And when he cast it into the waters were made sweet. And there he made a statute and an ordinance for them, and there he tested them. Church, the same God that is in control during blessed times, it's also the God that is still sitting on the throne during times of trial, of tribulation, and need. Moses cried out to the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree. And the tree symbolizes the cross of Jesus Christ. And this is where we can find hope. This is where we can find strength. This is where we can find healing and breakthrough out of every trial in life. Our answer is found in the cross of Jesus. It is in the cross of Jesus. And it is the cross that can make the bitter waters of your life turn into sweet. I have had so many painful experiences in my life, especially before I became a Christian. But I tell you, God has turned my sorrow into dancing, because there is healing, there is restoration, and there is life in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 24 says it this way: who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, may live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Now, what amazes me is that Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote these words to slaves who were suffering injustice in the hands of evil masters. And the words about Christ's wounds, talking about the welts produced by the whipping that Jesus Christ endured, must have ministered the hearts of these slaves with hope and comfort. Slaves that were also being beaten unjustly at the hands of evil masters. And Peter knew that looking to the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross will produce in them a spirit of gratitude to Jesus, who endured such horrible death, such horrible suffering for them. Friend, if you are growing through a spiritual dry time, if you are growing and facing bitter waters tonight, there is comfort and there is hope for you as you turn and you look for your hope in the cross of Jesus Christ and see what Jesus went through to give you healing and to give you a breakthrough out of your situation. The cross is the place where healing of sin, healing of sickness takes place. The cross is the place where God already made provision for all of your needs. You will never ever face a need that God already didn't meet through the sacrifice of Jesus in the cross. Let me repeat that again. Jesus paid a horrible price. Jesus suffered and shed his blood on the cross so that every need and every need that you go through will be met through his power and his sacrifice. The cross is the place where Jesus carried your pain, where Jesus carried your own suffering in his body. Jesus knows what the pain of cancer is. Jesus knows what the pain of a stroke is. Jesus knows what the pain of arthritis is, because he suffered that disease in his own body and he paid the price for your healing. You will never go through a trial, through a need, through a sickness that Jesus already has not gone through in the cross. Your victory was won thousands of years ago in the cross of Calvary. So today, that cross, when it touches the bitter waters of your life, will also turn the bitter into sweetness for the glory of God. Don't give up too soon. Don't give up too soon. Soon the Israelites left a bitter place and moved into a better place. In verse 27, it says that they got to Elim, a refreshing place to drink and rest. Now, you know what amazes me about this story is when I was preparing for this sermon, I realized that Elim was only a day's journey from Mara. The people felt discouraged and bitter, but God's breakthrough was only one day away from them. What am I saying? You might feel discouraged tonight. You might feel like giving up. You might not see a way out of your problem, but hold on. Don't give up yet, because your breakthrough is near and your breakthrough is only a day away from where you are. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So never give up, church. Never give up in your worst moment. God will show you something amazing about who he is. I have been saved for almost 30 years. And can I tell you, the most awesome revelations that God has given me about his love, about his power, about his provision have come during very difficult times. It's by the waters of Marah that God gave the promise of Exodus chapter 15 verse 26 that we quote so often. And it's this: if you hear my voice and you keep my commandments, I will put none of the diseases on you which I brought on the Egyptians. The Hebrew means, I will not allow any of the diseases in the Egyptians to go upon you. I will not permit it. For I am the Lord who heals you. It was by the place God Marah. It was as they were facing the bitter waters that life threw at them, that God gave them this promise, and God gave them an awesome revelation of what a healing can be found only in Jesus Christ. When you feel like you are at the end of your rope and you wonder, where is God? Is God really hearing my prayers? Is God gonna really get me out of this situation? Remember that you can still find strength, that you can still find hope, that you can still find unconditional love in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Church, in summary, life, your life, and my life is a combination of sweet times and bitter times. And if you're going through a rough time right now in your life, don't forget what Jesus did for you in the past. Don't magnify your present problem, because God is bigger than anything that you are facing today. God is bigger than your sickness. God is bigger than your enemy. And God is bigger than your need. Can we give God the glory for that? And don't forget that God has a solution for your problem. God has a solution for your problem. And my question to you tonight is this: which season are you going through right now? Are you going through a dry season? Don't feel condemned. Don't feel condemned. Don't feel that you're not spiritual enough. Learn something from church tonight and receive freedom in this. Every single one of us will go through dry seasons. Every single one of us will face times that we don't feel like serving God. We don't feel like coming to church. But if we hold on to God, he is going to get us out of the other place. So are you going through a dry season tonight? Are you feeling discouraged? Have you lost the passion? Have you forgotten about the vision that God one day spoke to your heart? Lord, we thank you. We thank you because we have seen your hand moving in an extraordinary way in our lives, in our church. You might not have divided the waters of a Red Sea for us physically, but you have divided so many waters for us through our life. Waters that came to drown us, that came to attack us, that came to take away everything that you have for us. But we have seen your hand stretching forth to part and divide the waters of sickness, the waters of discouragement, the waters of financial need, the waters of enemies that have risen against us to attack us, to oppress us unjustly. And we praise you for that. We praise you for what you have done in our lives so far. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for saving us from sin, from hell and darkness. I thank you for the healing of our bodies, for the financial provision of our needs, from healing our marriages, for healing our families, for moving in a mighty way in your church. But Lord, with times of sweet and victory, also rough times will come. And maybe some of us, or many of us here tonight, are going through a rough time. are also facing bitter waters, the waters of Mara. And Lord, I pray that tonight as we meditate on the story of your people in the book of Exodus, Lord, that our hearts will be encouraged here tonight, knowing that you are in control, and perhaps it has been your hand that has taken us to this place called Mara. But Elim is only a day away. The sweet time will come again. Times of joy, times of victory, times of blessing, times of prosperity will also come again in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you would encourage us tonight so that we will not give up. Because breakthrough is around the corner. Healing is around the corner. Victory is around the corner. But if we give up, if we give up on you, if we give up now that we are so close to receiving the promise, we will never receive it. We will never see it. So Lord, strengthen us from the inside out. Strengthen our faith, strengthen our mind, strengthen our hearts and our emotions here tonight in the name of Jesus. And I pray for those that came discouraged, that came like feeling like giving up. Lord, in the name of Jesus, do not allow them to give up. But remind them, O Lord, of the promises. Remind them, O Lord, of the calling and the vision that you have shown them one day in the name of Jesus. And quiet every voice that is not the voice of the Spirit. Voice of unbelief, voice of discouragement. Cover the mind and the heart of your people with the peace of Jesus Christ that surpasses all understanding, Almighty God. Lord, turn our bitter waters into sweetness, O God, as we wait on you, as we stand on your promise, O God. Do this, O God. Do this. Because you have been faithful time after time, O God. You have been faithful throughout years, oh Lord. You have been faithful, and we have seen you answering the cry and the prayers of our heart, oh Lord. And sure enough, you're not going to forget us now. You're not going to forget us, Jesus. Let us remember that you are a faithful God. And above every impossibility, even if we complain, even if, Lord, if we give up, you are still going to do what you said you're going to do, oh God. And thank you for being so faithful.